everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Deeper Podcast here at Friendship CRC. I'm Austin Slater. That's Pastor Dan Kinnis. Dan, you doing good this week?
I'm doing well. Yeah, you too?
I'm doing well. I'm keeping busy. I'm enjoying a break from the heat. Hope you all stayed safe in the storms last week. That was a lot crazy. It was kind of funny because when I moved down to Kalamazoo, one of the things I told my wife was that, you know, I'm so excited that we're moving down here. It's a lovely place. And what's great is it's just north of Tornado Alley. Like, we don't have tornadoes. We don't have storms. Lo and behold, ever since that year, we have beat the previous year's records. I'm going to move.
Clearly, it's your fault as well.
Clearly, so. I brought the storms. And I'm sorry to all of you who might have had to deal with that, because that's clearly my fault. Dan, we are on day two, or not day two, but kind of day two of our series on Numbers. What did we talk about this last week?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this summer we're thinking about scripture passages that feature numbers in some prominent way and helping or having that help us understand a little more of what's being communicated there. So we started with one. This week jumped to three, the number three, in Matthew 12, 38 to 42. And there Jesus talking with some of the religious leaders. They asked for a sign. He says, you're not going to get any sign except the sign of Jonah, who was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a giant fish. So I will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And for us, you know, who are familiar, of course, with the story, we know Jesus is pointing ahead to his death and resurrection, and of course, the kind of culmination of his ministry. We talked about that number three, signifying perfection or completeness, and how Jesus was saying to them in that moment, you're asking for a sign, but it's me. Like, I'm here. I'm the one you're waiting for, and nothing better's coming, right? I'm the one who's the Messiah, who's come to give you salvation. Also talked about, as he points ahead to his act there, as death and resurrection, that's going to be full and complete in what we need to be saved, defeating sin and death. And it was what Jonah needed back in the day to point him back to mission fully and got him back in alignment with God, even though he still had some wrestling about his mission and how it went afterwards. But we talked about that. We talked about, as we will today too, just this whole wanting to have signs from God and where does that come from and what's dangerous about it at times. And so we spent a lot of time breaking that down because it felt like a good practical point to say it's not just at some point back then that they were like, oh, they were asking for a sign. We still deal with that too. And so, it was good to get into that a little bit. Different text. I haven't preached that one before, so it was good for me to sit with it and hear God's word in that way too.
Yeah. Oh, it was so interesting. And I really appreciated you highlighting that, like, we still do this nowadays. Now, we don't necessarily, you know, I haven't been putting my hoodie outside on the front step and being like, God, if my hoodie's wet and my lawn is mowed and I didn't touch either of those things, I'm going to go to seven. You know, that's not exactly what we tend to do now. Definitely as a kid, I think we all probably tried once or twice.
Right.
But, like, that's not necessarily how we do things. But we do look for signs. We are looking for really clear-cut answers from God on a lot of things sometimes. Mm-hmm. And like we were saying, it's really important that we don't go chasing these signs. Like, if God wants to do them, he's going to do them. He's going to give them to us. But, like, generally looking for signs like this is more a sign of unbelief than a sign of faith. At the same time, it can be really important when we're trying to make a really important decision to take accurate stock of myself and the situation around me and see what direction is God actually pulling me here. It can be kind of hard to balance, like, am I looking for a sign on this or am I looking for an open door on this or, am I just, just taking inventory? Where am I? What are my options? How do we hold all of that intention?
Mm-hmm. It's a very good question, I think, because, we talk about discerning God's will. Of course, we want to be doing that, and we look for indications, at least, of where he's going. So I think one thing important up front is a little differentiation between seeking a sign for, in a salvation sense, right? Because that, in this text, Jesus is the Messiah. Mm. He's come to save. He's the one who's going to work that salvation, and they were questioning that, right? So that's a big deal, right? That's one thing, saying, well, we've heard about Jesus, but I don't know if he's really the way, the truth, and the life. I need to see something more if I'm going to believe it, or maybe I'm going to look someplace else. Of course, that's when we're really missing what's going on and getting into a dangerous spot. So you have that on one side versus seeking, as Austin just said, the leading of God's will, and where's God's will in my life, and discerning that. So I think that's an important differentiation to make. And then maybe along with that, to see there's a difference between I'm going to seek God's leading and seek how God is speaking to me or showing me the way in what he's revealed to me versus saying, I know you've revealed things to me, but I don't trust it. Mm. Right. So, and then I'm looking other places. So it's certainly, I think, very fitting as maybe you're thinking about, wow, where is my job going to go? My family life, whatever. We're always wondering about these things. It's a good thing for me to be seeking in God's word as he's given that to us. How's he speaking? I need to be searching with him, to be talking with him in prayer about that, to be even looking in creation. It's God's creation, right? And how's he speaking through that? To pay attention to God's leading according to his will. That's, I think, a good thing to be doing. And yeah, he'll put indicators, I think, often in our path that show us along the way. Now, not always in our timing. That's where we have to be careful because yeah. I need to see it this week. Well, now we're starting to get a little dangerous ground. It's his timing. It's his way. But it's good for us to be seeking. Maybe I could liken it to, just for an example, like an instructional manual, right? So say you got a new lawnmower or something or a new grill. You got to put that together. You get the instructional booklet. It's one thing to be like, all right, I'm struggling a little bit with how this comes together. Well, I'm going to keep looking into the instructional manual. And there's a help number there. I'm going to call that, right? That comes right from that same source. And I'm going to keep wrestling so I can figure this out. It's another thing to say, yeah, I know how this says it's supposed to go together, but I don't really think that's it. So I'm going to look for a different way to put it together. I'm just going to try it myself. Or I'm going to ask somebody else what they think how it should look. And that's maybe the difference between God's revealed to us, his will in Jesus Christ, his way for our lives. He is at work all around us in his Holy Spirit. And so we want to be seeking in those ways, not saying, hey, we need to see something else. Mm-hmm. What you've given us isn't enough, or I don't really trust it. Kind of like the fairy, like, yeah, you've done these healings, but I don't know if we really believe that. We need to see something else.
It wasn't good enough.
Right. So I think that I can, hopefully that's a little bit helpful, as it's good for us to be seeking along with the Lord and what he's given to us for his leading in our lives. Again, being careful that we're not starting to dictate to him how that should go. And, hey, I'm going to open the Bible up blindly here, and you need to point me to the passage that I need to be at, right? I mean, we're starting to put things on our terms instead of trusting God's going to lead. He's there.
I don't know if you ever, like, if any of you listening ever did that. I'm going to open the Bible and point to this thing, and my goodness, I have pointed to some things that I'm like, I don't think I want to go to war with the Amalekites. That doesn't.
Right. I'm not sure.
I don't think that's what Jesus is saying.
Right. I don't think it applies to my situation, but yeah. Yeah. So no, a very good question, because there is this looking for God's hand, his presence, his leading. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. The working of the Spirit. We talk about that all the time on this podcast and our messages. So we need to be listening and aware. But yeah, getting to the more of that demand or not trusting what God has given to us. Yeah, I know, I'm pretty clear you said this, but still, I want to go here, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And especially, we love going towards the sensational. Mm. And there's a lot of reasons we like that. I think, you know, we're like, wow, I'm important enough that God, you know, God mowed my lawn and drenched my hoodie, and, yeah, you know, or whatever big sensational thing. Also, and this is just me speaking here, but I think one of the reasons that we are gravitating towards the sensational, we have this temptation towards the sensational, is, well, then it's just so obvious this is what I have to do. I don't even really have to think about it, to be honest. Because, to be fair, if I were to raise my arms, and whenever my arms were raised, the lions would not lose, you know, any ground. Right. Like, that's pretty cool. I know what I'm doing. I don't even have to think about it. Easiest decision I've ever made.
Yeah.
Very different when it's much more subtle. We have to think about things. I have to wrestle with things. That's uncomfy. That's messy. Mm-hmm. It's not as clear cut as we want it to be. How do we, in a society that drives us towards the sensational and towards the click and towards the view and towards how many reactions can I get? Mm. How do we retrain ourselves to look less for the sensational and value that wrestling?
Mm-hmm. That's a good question. It's not an obvious one either. You know, as it takes some thought to think about that for our lives as well. I appreciate the sports example, because I think in other ways too, you could do that, right? I've been watching sporting events with teams and you're like, all right, we're doing well. Nobody move. Nobody move, right, from their seat. And then things start going, all right, you need to shift around. You need to stand back there. And I think that actually gives a picture of the the nature of being sensational, you're always here and there and everywhere, right? Because, well, it's working for now, but now I need to try this, mm-hmm. right? And then I need to go over here and, well, this sensation and that one. I think the scriptural example and illustration is very helpful, especially in the New Testament, talking about kind of being like a boat that's tossed to and fro on the mm-hmm. waves. And that's when we get too based off sensational pieces, we're over here, we're over there. Like whatever the newest sensation is, has changed a little bit. The wind's different today, so we're going over here. So I would say, like, how do we step away from that when the culture's driven, you know, just whatever tastes good at the moment. I'm going to say, kind of connecting with that example, that one big way we do that, we become a little less sensationalized as we have more confidence in God, as we're more grounded in Him. And to use that kind of boat example, when we're anchored more strongly in Him, because that holds us firm in the waves. We're not being tossed around as much and floating off this way and that way. We're in that spot connected with Him. And that's, you know, it's a lifelong journey of growing more confident, trusting His promises, trusting He's with us. He is leading, even if we're not quite sure exactly where that is, because it's my lack of confidence that says, all right, you know, I think you gave the example of Peter in the garden, right? We're picking up the sword. The sword's right here.
I got it.
And I'm a pretty active guy, and I don't mind fighting. You know, let's do that. Where instead of thinking, is this, you know, where I should be going? Is this the right thing to do? Jesus is with me here. He's not reacting that way. Mm-hmm. Maybe I don't need to do that. Connected to that picture, too, I thought a lot of the verse in Psalm 46 of 10, be still and know that I am God. Mm-hmm. And just this slowing down and taking that time to not just react, to not just be drawn to the bright lights, the glittery flashes, but resting in the Lord and slowing down and thinking about, what are we doing here? Why am I doing it? This just popped up. Is that really healthy for me? Mm-hmm. And for us, is that going to be, you know, what are the conclusions, consequences of this decision or that? So I think that those are a couple of things that came to mind for me. One, being confident in the Lord, being anchored in Him, and keep going back to that, you know, will help me from being, you know, like the dogging up, like we referenced that before, like squirrel, woo, woo, you know, and then also that slowing down. We go so fast-paced mm-hmm. in our lives, and it's really drawn to, like, oh, I'm on this app now, and oh, it's going over here. I mean, even as we're scrolling our phones, I can barely, like, what was I going to do? Oh, yeah, that was on this app over here. I feel like it's not helping my mind to really focus even. And that's, I think, the sensationalism to its nth degree of mm-hmm. We're just tossed back and forth. So there's a lot more to think about there, but that's kind of the general picture I think I'd want to have in mind. Like, I want to keep growing in my trust, my confidence in the Lord, and being tied to Him and resting in Him and looking to Him.
I know that's so helpful. And especially I love the being still mm-hmm. and how stillness is the antithesis towards this frenetic energy that we just fill our lives and time with.
Yeah.
It's a really good reminder.
Yeah.
Every time we talk about the Pharisees, one of the things I try and do is make sure that I put myself in the Pharisee's shoes mm-hmm. because I work at a church.
Yeah. Yep.
I am, in this context, I am a religious leader. I'm not necessarily teaching like the Pharisees would, but like this is a position I'm in. And so it's, and I think it's good for us to do as believers, especially if we've been longtime believers, to try and put ourselves in the Pharisees' shoes to see what we can learn from their perspective and why they were misunderstanding some things. And one of the things we had talked about that the Pharisees experienced this time was that they were really trying to avoid the truth of who Jesus was.
Mm.
Because if Jesus was who he said he was, then they had to completely redo their entire life's purpose. They had to change how they lived. They had to reframe their role in society. They were very important.
Yeah.
And if Jesus was the Messiah, then that meant that their role was probably going to be greatly diminished.
Mm.
And that avoidance of the truth is especially so profound when it requires us to change how we're living.
Mm.
Because, man, changing how I'm living sucks.
Yeah, having to look at things.
And
yeah.
be like, oh man, this thing that I, you know, was really passionate about, still important, but like maybe I need to reframe my priorities a little bit. My role in this business, in this group, maybe I need to take a step back from that to reevaluate where my energy is going.
Mm.
And that is so hard, and we hate that sort of truth.
Mm-hmm.
We press against it. We fight against that so much as humans, especially with our sin nature.
Yeah.
We like being important.
Yeah.
We like being in charge. We like being looked at and admired.
Comfortable.
We love being comfortable.
Yeah.
So when we, and oftentimes, and I know I'm for sure guilty of this, is that if I'm being confronted with a truth like this, I don't change my actions on it nearly as quick as I should.
Mm.
It can take weeks, months, years before I finally am like, you know what? I have been the problem here for a long time. I really do need to change this.
Mm-hmm.
So when we have been finding ourselves faced against this really nagging, like, I need to reframe my perspective towards Jesus. I need to give up this comfort. I need to give up this responsibility. How do we soften our hearts towards that?
Mm. I was thinking about my own experience with my call to ministry, because that was not something that, you know, I heard one day and then the next day I said, yep, sure, I'm on board. I was not ready to take that step quite yet for a lot of the reasons Austin said, right? Well, this is going to be uncomfortable. I'm going to have to give up some things. Things are going to have to change. You know, maybe I have to look at even some of my own practice. You know, so I was thinking about that in regards to your question. You know, what can we do to help soften ourselves and hear God's will, whether it's a leading like that or it's even a more like spiritual change overall? One thing I would encourage is to keep being in conversation with God, mm-hmm. keep listening to Him, because ultimately, if I don't want to go there, I'll kind of tune out and just block off, like, you know, not listening, you know, and that's the worst for us, right? When we're not even engaging. If you're having something, you feel like God's pressing you somewhere, you don't like it, you're not quite sure, but keep in conversation with Him. Keep that dialogue going, praying about it, being in the Word, listening. I think step two with that is share that wrestling, that struggle with somebody you trust. Mm. And I remember doing that when I was going through the process, like, hey, you know, I kind of had this thinking like about going to seminary and ministry. What do you think about that? Because mm-hmm. it helped me then. I'm talking about it, I'm hearing from someone else who isn't in my own head and saying like, oh, well, I could see that. Or, oh, have you thought about this? Well, that's going to mean this. Mm-hmm. Someone can enter into that wrestling with you and maybe help you see a little more clearly what God might be doing or might not be doing. So that was something else, too, that, you know, staying in the conversation with the Lord, but maybe bringing someone else in instead of just my own self-confirmation along the way. And then something else I thought of is Austin listed it at the start of the question, right? Oh, man, this is going to make me uncomfortable. I might lose this. I might lose that. And I think a lot of times that's the enemy just putting things up in our minds. So another thing I thought about was an honest assessment, a true assessment. What is going to be lost here, but what's also going to be gained? If this is the Lord's leading and He's calling me toward this, what might be coming from that? So yes, there might be, like when I was going to seminary, I'm like, okay, my relationships with my friends, my family, I don't know where I'm going to end up geographically. It's going to look different. But yeah, on the positive side, if this is what God's called me to do, I can be a blessing to His church, to His people, wherever that might be, right? And so, but the enemy just wants to see like, oh, really? It's going to be uncomfortable breaking your pattern. Who knows where you work? How are you going to do at school? You know, all these things. Instead of seeing what's the gain here? What is God doing? What might He do if He leads me to this? And I think that even on levels of, you know, we have conversations in church all the time. Different generations. We're a multi-generational church. And so we struggle, right? Sometimes we see things differently, whether that's decor or ways we do worship or other things like that. And so as things are shifting and we have these conversations together, I think this also applies. We're seeking God's leading. We want to be praying, listening to Him. We need to talk with each other about it. What are our fears? But also really assess, like, what are the losses here? Like, okay, there is going to be a loss in that this is what you've known and it's been meaningful and it's going to look a little bit different. But there's what's maybe the game. Maybe it's another generation being able to say, like, God, this is really meaningful for us, and we're connecting with the Lord. And it's not the salvation sign, right,
yeah.
that we're talking about. It's something smaller. And so I think that can help us, too, in how we discern together and how we make sure we're not being hard-hearted on something we shouldn't be, but we're caring for each other. We're trying to listen. And it takes time. Often, especially I think you phrased it, like if I've been that way for a while, how do we even start that process? So it's just continuing to listen, continuing to seek wisdom just outside of my own head, in conversation with others, and then, yeah, being really honest about like what is this here, and what is it, what is it not? So those are just some thoughts I had, and to that question, which can go much deeper than that too.
That's so helpful to give us a really good place to start, at least. Mm-hmm. You know, we can start doing some of that work and doing that honest reflection. Mm-hmm. I think that's one thing that we absolutely can do in the moment now.
Yeah. What's the true cost? What's the true gain?
Yeah.
So
what are we going to start talking about next week?
All right. So now we are going to do the number two. So.
Oh, okay.
1, 3, 2, you know, usual way to count. But also partly because this one fit very well with the theme or the holiday we have coming up Sunday, which is Father's Day. So we're going to do the parable of the two sons, which is often known as the parable of the prodigal son. Mm-hmm. But it's very significant. In fact, the passage in Luke 15 begins with, there is a father who had two sons. And so thinking, why the two sons? What's going on there? And as we get into those things, you see that both sons play a prominent role here. There's kind of the one up front, but then the other son comes in, and Jesus is speaking about both sides of that. And so there's kind of a fuller picture that comes in with that pair. There's also a contrast. That's often when scripture uses the number two, like here's two sides of things. And so I think we'll see like, oh yeah, the prodigal, there's some issues there and he needed to repent and come back. But then in contrast, there's maybe a different set of issues going on here with this other son. And we need to pay attention there. And again, thinking of our friends, the religious leaders, maybe in that case, but also maybe in our situation too. So very familiar story, but looking at it again from our numbers angle a bit. So
I'm excited. Well, I can remember the very first time when, you know, I'd heard the prodigal son story the whole life. And then I remember the very first sermon I ever heard where we talked about the other son.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, crap.
Yeah.
There's so much more here.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited to dig into that. Thank you, Dan, again, for your time today. Thanks to all of you for joining us. We are so excited to be here. We will see you next time.